Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, your host. Tonight, we have a most interesting program, and this is a pre-recorded program and a pre-recorded interview with Klaus Dohna from Austria, who has done fascinating and the most interesting work in ancient artifacts, especially one we're going to talk about here, is that of the giants. A lot of people think the Bible is mythology. They think there's no truth in it. But I wanted to lay the groundwork of some of this so that people could understand at least what the ancient people thought. You don't have to buy into it if you don't want to. But it is extremely fascinating in relationship, I guess one could say, to what has been dug up by people who are interested into this thing, and who have the audacity, I guess one could say, to question modern archaeological truths or anthropological proof. They don't want anything to do with that. Their mind is set on what we're being told by modern science, etc., etc., etc. But the proofs that are being dug up, the proofs that are being found around the world, prove otherwise. Scientists are hiding a lot of this stuff, as are the governments of the world, in a massive cover-up conspiracy. You talk about a cover-up of the UFOs and alien contact. That is just part of the overall massive cover-up of our ancient past, what actually happened. The Bible talks about ages, and when an age passed, the old age is forgotten about, goes kind of in the dustbin of history, and then the modern people in the new age read about what is being found, and they poo-poo it and say, well, that was all just mythology, it wasn't real. Maybe it was. And that's the problem. I'm going to read to you from an ancient book. It's called the Book of Enoch, about the giants. And these are what we're talking about, biblically speaking, are fallen angels. They came down to earth. They landed on Mount Hermon over in Israel. And around the world, we have stories of these fallen angels. However, they weren't called fallen angels around the world. They were called star nation people, star people, or the gods who came down to earth and actually ran it for a while, took wives of all of whom they chose, created a race of giants. I want to read to you now from the Book of Enoch, chapter 9. And I'm going to start with verse 8. The women likewise brought forth giants. In other words, these fallen ones, aliens, whatever you want to call them, doesn't matter, interbred with earth women and produced a race of giants. Thus has the whole world been filled with blood and with iniquity. And now behold, the souls of those who are dead cry out and complain even to the gates of heaven. Their groaning ascends, nor can they escape from the unrighteousness which is committed on earth. Thou, Lord, knowest all things before they exist. Thou knowest these things and what has been done by them, yet Thou dost not speak to us. What an account of these things ought we to do to them? Now, this is kind of interesting. I guess we can expect glitches here and there. But anyway, getting back to the giants. Very, very fascinating stories coming from the ancients all over the world concerning these creatures and these entities. So my question really is Genesis 6 really telling the truth? If we go into Genesis chapter 6, we learn about how the sons of God came down and married, literally, the women, the daughters of men. In other words, what we have coming out of this inbreeding or extraterrestrial breeding of earth women are hybrids. These stories of these giant hybrids populate the entire world and every nation. Why is this so? If it didn't happen, is it just mythology? Is it just old wives' tales? Or are they telling something that we really should know about simply because the book of Isaiah talks about how the giants may well live again and walk the earth? Anyway, chapter 6, Genesis, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare them children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were evil continually. So, there we go. We got it in the book of Genesis. We've got it in the book of Enoch. Ancient writings. Are they telling the truth or not? Well, I interviewed a fellow by the name of Klaus Dohna. He's from Austria, as I said. He has gone around the world looking at strange and out-of-place artifacts according to our modern concepts of archaeology and whatnot. And he has dug up giants, giant skeletons, giant bones. Now, what's interesting is that when this is happening in the United States or Europe, generally, the governments confiscate all of this and it sort of vanishes. Welcome to Conversations. I'm Stuart Best. We have a very special conversations for you. An expert, Klaus Dohna from Vienna, Austria, an expert researcher into ancient artifacts, giants, ancient civilization, and many other areas. Just a fountain of knowledge that people really need to hear about. So anyway, I want to bring that to you right away because I want to get it all in. Dohna, and I'd have to say an expert in ancient things that seem to be out of place. Klaus, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. How did you get involved in this and how long have you been at it?
I read many books in English, in German language, about strange artifacts from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very skeptical, and I thought it might be a good idea trying to do once an exhibition, trying to get all those pieces into one exhibition so that the scientists would have the chance to check the artifacts if they are really original or frauds. And I have to say I was really very, very skeptical. Mm-hmm. And I thought that's not possible that such artifacts real exist. And I started with the idea of such an exhibition in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
And we had our first exhibition in Vienna 2001. And with a friend of mine, we checked only artifacts from museums. And then I got the help of a director of a museum, a good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote to all those museums if we could lend such artifacts. And we figured out in 1.5 years about 336 artifacts.
Mm.
And can you imagine how many artifacts we got from the museums? A director of a museum asked his colleagues of other museums, and usually you have the chance of getting about 80% of the artifacts, but how many do you think we really got after 1.5 years?
No, I can't even imagine, but it's got to be probably thousands, I would think.
Only one.
Only one?
Yes.
What are they hiding then?
We got many excuses that the pieces are in the major exhibition, or they are not able to be transported, or it's impossible to lend them, and many, many excuses. And that was exactly 1.5 years before the opening of the exhibition. And all my friends told me, you better give up, it's impossible. And I said, as long as we do not try it, of course it might be impossible. And then we started researching by ourselves through travel, through some travel to South America, to Mexico, to United States.
Mm-hmm.
And we checked through internet, telephone calls and everything. And in the final 1.5 years, we were able to get around 470 pieces into our exhibition. And many, many new artifacts which were not published yet. We had a good luck, I would say.
Would you care to venture an opinion as to why these museums would not cooperate?
I think some of the artifacts, it would be very hard to give an explanation. And if you lend an artifact from a museum,
mm-hmm.
They shall give you an explanation about it. But most probably about many of those artifacts, they were not able to give any explanation. And that was kind of an excuse that they cannot lend them.
Well, in other words, what they're obviously attempting to do, these are my words, not yours, would be to keep in modern anthropological and archaeological truths as they are presented today, it sounds like. In other words, they don't want anything that's out of place that they can't explain.
Yes, and we found also some artifacts which in the country itself, they are announced as frauds or new made artifacts. And we did some checking in Austria, in Vienna, through some experts.
Mm-hmm.
And the result was those artifacts we cannot do in our days. So how can they be fraud if we are not able to make them?
Yeah, that sounds very much like an archaeologist over here. I saw her on TV, and they had the crystal skulls. And her comment was, well, they have to be modern because they just didn't have that engineering capability long ago, which excludes them being ancient. And I, So evidently, once science gets into a mode of operation, you can't penetrate or change their mind.
Yes, and another problem is, if you talk with a scientist who is an expert on Egyptian culture, you cannot talk about artifacts from South America, and the other way around is the same thing. But I think a very important point is, look at those pieces with open mind and find out that there are so many similarities between artifacts from Asia, from South America, from Egypt. Why they are so similar.
Now, you've traveled a lot, but what is your opinion of the Great Pyramids, for example, and the ones that have been found all over the world? You got step pyramids in South America, got them in Mexico. Do you think that this relates back in any way to the story that the Earth was one continent long ago?
Many of the artifacts showed me that there might have been a global civilization. For example, we had in our exhibition stones from Ecuador, from Colombia, from United States, Illinois, from France, Clausel, and we found other stones in Australia, in Malta, and it's always the same unknown writing.
Are you familiar with Gary Vey at all?
No.
Well, Gary Vey wrote, he's done some research into ancient writings all over the world. And he wrote a book called Evil Fire Made to Burn. And it was more or less prophetic that the sky was going to either open up or some sort of lethal weapon was going to be used at the end. And he said he found this in ancient writings all over. His is orientated more towards the prophetic end than anything else. But I hear you found some ancient pyramids, getting back to pyramids, in Mongolia?
Yes. It belongs to China. And we got from a Chinese friend, his friend is archaeologist, we got some very beautiful photographs from pyramids in Mongolia.
Now, are these step pyramids, or are these more like the Egyptian kind of pyramids?
No, it's different. It's a kind of step pyramids, but round.
Okay. What is your take on the pyramids all over the world? Why were they built? What's the message we're being given?
I think it has to do something with energy.
Could you elaborate at all?
I beg your pardon?
Could you elaborate on that? Could you explain more about that?
American friends did good research on this, and they showed me some waves going around the Earth, energy waves.
Okay.
And one big line, on this big line, you find most of the pyramids.
Oh, okay, so you're talking about ley lines of energy.
Yes.
Oh, okay. And you're finding these pyramids all along the ley lines.
Many of them. And when we went to Ecuador, we met a young archaeologist, and he is researching the equinoxial lines from the zero point of the equator in Ecuador. The French expedition in the 18th century, they found the so-called zero point of the Earth, of the equinoxial lines in Ecuador outside Quito. And there's, in these days, is a big monument there. But this young archaeologist showed us the real zero point. We had two GPS with us. And he brought us up on a mountain And we had to drive up, and the rest we had to walk up. And on top of this mountain is a very, very old stone circle. And we had the GPS with us, and the exactly zero point is exactly up on the mountain, not in the valley where the monument stays from the French.
Oh.
And he found out that along the equinoctial lines through South America, you have all the important cities and places exactly on the equinoctial lines.
Fascinating. Does this have anything to do with the use of the all-seeing eye, which we know came from ancient use, but now we're finding it, like, for example, on the back of the American dollar bill?
We found the only existing small pyramid with the eye we found in Ecuador.
You did?
We did. We had it in our exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very strange because that's a place in Ecuador. At the same place is, I would say, the best and most powerful water on this earth. And around this well, they found over 350 artifacts, and most of them do not fit any South American pre-Columbian culture. And, for example, the pyramid is about 27 centimeters high.
Mm-hmm.
It has exactly 13 steps, and the color of the eye, inlay eye, is gray. And only if you put this pyramid under black light, the eye is very, very strong shining lighting.
Wow.
Very strange artifact, and on the bottom of this small pyramid, you have an inlay in small gold plates of the Orion constellation, and in exactly the same writing as I told you before, we found all over the world, there was one man in Germany, Professor Schildmann, who was able to translate this writing. And he called the writing pre-Sanskrit because he said this language is older than Sanskrit.
Right.
And the translation of the writing on the bottom of this pyramid, his translation was, "The Son of the Creator comes."
Wow.
And another very strange artifact, or several artifacts, is a big cup of kind of jade with a completely star constellation inlay, also shining under black light, and 12 little cups.
12 little cups.
One big one and 12 little one.
That sounds like Messiah and the 12 tribes, almost.
Huh. And another very important artifact is a big granite stone, and on this granite stone you have inlay the world map, and you can see three continents which do not exist
today,
the same in our days.
Oh.
And there is an eye inlay approximately in the area of, I would say, Israel, Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And a white quartz line goes directly to South America, to Guayaquil. And from there you have another inlay going up north and a small circle. And exactly that place is the place where all those artifacts were found.
Oh. So this... this looks like it's very ancient knowledge. In other words, they had knowledge that we don't have today.
I would say, who was able to do a world map, which you can see on the world map, you can recognize Italy, not the form like it has today. You can recognize Saudi Arabia. You can also see India and many other places, so that you can see that this is a real world map, but there is also a small continent in the center of the Atlantic, more to United States, located. And Professor Kimura, the Japanese expert scientist who is researching the undersea big stone building in Yonaguni, he wrote the book, and he told me also that his researches are showing him that from the northeast Japanese island, which is now belonging to Russia, until far down after Taiwan, there was in ancient time a long continent. And exactly like he's explaining, this continent is also incarved on this stone map.
Would this relate back to Atlantis and Lemuria, do you think?
I think so.
Oh, that's amazing. You mentioned Orion. Now, the pyramid, I can't remember his name, but he's done a lot of work on the Egyptian pyramids, particularly from the astrological, or astronomical, I should say, point of view.
Yes.
Where the pyramids, the three are laid out in Orion's belt.
Yes.
And now you have that little one which has Orion. Do you have any thoughts on why Orion is being picked out?
No idea.
I wonder if it has to do with... now, you're in your research, have you you've run across, I'm sure, any comments on aliens or any pictures about unusual things?
Yes.
Huh.
For example, from Chile, we got, through a Spanish friend, we got a small mummy, which is 14 centimeters. And for the scientists, it is a fetus.
Mm-hmm.
And we had checking in Vienna through professors, and they said that it is definitely not a fetus, because they think it is too perfect done for a fetus, and they think it has only 10 ribs instead of 12 we have, and the skull is very strange and very little. But what they told me is that they think that it might have been only a child in the age of 5 to 6 years. Mm-hmm. And a few months later, I got a video from Russia, where they found exactly the same skeleton, but 28 centimeters. That means the double size. And that might have been a real adult, and what we had in hand is a child of 5 to 6 years.
Hmm. Maybe star children, perhaps.
Very, very strange.
Yeah, we have, I mean, the Native Americans over here in the United States are adamant that we were visited by what they call the star people, star nations. And, of course, if you go back into Genesis chapter 6, it talks about the fallen angels coming down.
Yes.
Have you found any artifacts that would relate to that or prove that or confirm it in any way?
No. That we found many artifacts where we do not have any explanation. Who did make them? How did they make them? And when did they make them? But as I told you before, some of the artifacts we cannot make today.
Yeah, in other words, the ancient technology is far superior to ours.
I think what my research showed me, and what I'm thinking is, that several times in history, there was a global catastrophe on Earth.
Now, when you say catastrophes, you're referring to, what the Bible talks about when the world civilization is basically destroyed and we begin over again, I take it.
Yeah, there's... the information which I got, and I got it through his book, a Russian professor, Professor Muldashev, he did several expeditions to Tibet, And he was able to enter some caves where there are sleeping giants, meaning that they are not dead, but they are not alive.
Suspended
animation. So-called samadhis.
Suspended animation. How big are these?
He said from normal size up to 10 meters.
Ooh, fairly big. I know, are you familiar with Steve Quayle?
Yes, he's a friend of mine.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, in his book on giants, he said, I think the largest one they had ever found was like 35 feet tall.
I found bones in Ecuador from a human giant who was 7.6 meters. That means around 20 feet.
Ooh. I guess he can sit anywhere he wants, can't he, if he's that big?
Yeah, but as you mentioned before, the Bible and all the histories all over the world, you always get information about the giants.
Mm-hmm. Now,
and they really lived.
I don't think there's any question about that. Have you found anything in the artifacts that would relate to Genesis and the mixture of fallen angels with mankind to produce these entities? Anything at all? Other than the fact that you have found giant bones?
Yes. We are now under research, and I have to fly to Bolivia the end of March,
mm-hmm.
because we got informations, and I have already some photos of 2.6 meter giants with a long skull, but definitely not deformed skulls, natural long skulls.
Mm-hmm.
And the most strange thing is, we have on top of our skull, the Homo sapiens, we have three bone plates going together, and in the center, as a child, you have the fontanella.
Yes, yes.
And those skulls have no, they have plain, on top of their skull is a plain bone, without any bone part.
So it's just one piece?
Just one piece. And if we are lucky and we can get some bones with us, I have a friend here in Austria who is an archaeological DNA expert. He can try us to get a DNA and also age dating.
Have you had any luck and I was just going to ask you that with your digs and finding of these huge creatures, whether any DNA research has been done on the bones or the marrow inside?
We tried to do the DNA here in Austria, but the bones are definitely older than 10,000 years. That means the expert, archaeological DNA expert, explained me, up to 10,000 years, you might have a chance to get any DNA, but over 10,000 years, there's no chance to get any DNA anymore.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you think there's any relationship between the giants and some of these pyramids, like the step pyramids down in South America? I know Steve Quayle seems to think that maybe they were built by those giants.
That's the historic writings from, for example, from Chiesa de Leon in South America, and also some Mexican historians.
Mm-hmm.
When the Spanish came first time to Teotihuacan in Mexico, they asked the indigenous if they built those pyramids, and they said no, they were built by giants when there was no sun shining. And exactly the same explanation also in Tiwanaku in Bolivia, the Spanish got from the Indians when they asked them if they did make those stone buildings.
Mm-hmm.
The explanation was no, they were done by giants.
Wow. So, what about the pyramids in Egypt? Now, you've done a lot of research on all these pyramids. How old do you think they really are?
This is still a big question. There are some specialists, some scientists saying that they are much older. There are writings, historical writings, that the pyramids are much older than we say or we know today.
Mm-hmm.
And others, they say no, they know exactly who built them and everything. But one strange thing, the big pyramid in Egypt is called by the pharaoh Cheops.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very strange that from Cheops only exists a very small statue. From many other not so important pharaohs,
mm-hmm.
you have huge stone monuments and everything. Isn't it strange that the one who really built such the biggest building on this earth, he did not order some stone monuments from himself?
Yeah, that would be very, very odd. I know in the Bible, in Isaiah, I think it talks about these monuments that are in the center of Egypt. And, of course, back then they did have a center. What would your opinion be about Enoch possibly being the builder of the Great Pyramid?
Why not?
If it's older than, or older than what Egyptians are saying, that would make sense, because it said something about, I can't remember where it was, that maybe it's Josephus, where Enoch built these pyramids, or the pyramid, as a monument for mm-hmm. mankind after the flood.
Yeah.
Any comments on that?
you can find a lot of explanations, but the big question is which one is the right one.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it's very hard, and I do not want to say something before I do not have the approval.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it's very easy then for...
you get shot down right away, of course.
Yeah, right away.
Are the authorities bothering you at all? On these digging up the giants?
No, in Ecuador, not at all.
Not at all?
No.
Huh. Because over here, you're familiar with Larry Taylor.
Yes.
Well, he's been in the Hevener area for some time doing some research.
Yeah.
And they discovered a number of things very deep in the earth.
Yeah.
And then the authorities would come and dynamite the area, tell the locals to be quiet.
Yeah.
And then they just leave, and I have some pictures of a wall that he found that was actually out in the open. I guess some store had them on display. There's no question that high technology was used to make them, and they're ancient. They were found, I guess, several miles down.
Sure. I mean, also the research of Michael Cremo and others, they show us that humans lived long, long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, also, I received from friends many newspaper reports from United States from 1890, 1900, and so on. And you can always read about the discovery of some mounds, what they found, some huge skeletons and everything. And I'm wondering why they disappear always.
There's something going on here in the United States that covers up, it appears to me, this is my own opinion, that what they are doing is covering up anything that verifies the scriptures as being accurate and being true.
Yeah.
What they're trying to do is protect the archaeology and anthropology. What they have laid out is our ancient past, and they don't want anything to disturb it.
That's right, because it might be very hard for a professor. He learned it from his professor, and suddenly he must change all his knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not so easy.
In your talking to scientists various places, do you get any off-the-record remarks that they know that something is out of place and can't be answered?
If they are my friends, they tell me secretly. obviously some stories or they research on some of the artifacts, but they ask me not to mention their name because they might get problems.
You get a lot of problems.
And this is the big problem because when people ask me, can you prove? And I explain, yes, we did the research and this is the result. They said, who did it? And I have to say, I'm sorry, I cannot mention the name here because that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Very easy. It's very difficult. And you have Virginia Steen McIntyre. She was a professor and she researched in Mexico and she found out that there lived people about 400,000 years ago. And when she published it, she lost her job and still she didn't get any official job anymore. So I understand scientists when they are very, very careful mm-hmm. about this. I understand them.
Yeah, there was a fellow down who runs, he's an archaeologist down in Boston University. I can't quite remember his name, but he did some research on the Sphinx and declared that it was water erosion, not wind erosion,
mm-hmm.
and he almost lost his job over that, even though uh-huh. the proof was there.
There was also a German scientist, a lady.
Mm-hmm.
She found out few years ago. She found in Egyptian mummies tobacco and coca. So when she wrote the report, she nearly lost her job. And a few years later, the Russian scientists found exactly the same, but nobody excused to this lady.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand to bring such news out can disturb the
powers that be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the Ancient American magazine?
Yes, Wayne May.
Okay. I was going to send you a subscription to it if you did not have it.
No, I receive them every time, and it's a very, very good magazine, and I really appreciate what he is doing.
Yeah, did you see on this latest one, these Lovelock giants?
Yes, yes.
How big would you say they are? I mean, the skull appears to be like twice the size of a normal human being.
I think 2.6, 2.8, 3 meters.
It is so fascinating that Genesis chapter 6 is really being confirmed. You mentioned the Russians. Why are they so deeply involved in Tibet and other areas? Do you have any reason, anybody ever said anything as why they're so, how do I say, interested?
That's what I talked with Professor Muldashev. He visited me in Vienna,
mm-hmm.
and we talked about, he is the most famous eye doctor in Russia, and he went to Tibet because of the research on eye forms and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Through this his researches, he got friendship with some monks, and they showed him many things, and that's why he is so much interested in Tibet. But not only, he makes also expeditions all over the world. But his job is eye doctor, and he's the only eye doctor who did an eye transplantation, and this lady can see again.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
When he was taken underground to see these suspended animation, I guess, what would we call them, Nephilim?
Yeah.
What did he think about this? This must have shocked him.
Yeah, he wrote a book about it, but nobody believed him. And when he got the knowledge that I found bones from a 7.6 meter giant in Ecuador, he got in contact with me, because what he is trying to find out now also is some approval. And that means you have to show bones or other things, because he found some huge footsteps in Syria,
mm-hmm.
And he always travels with several scientists, and they made the material check and everything, and they found out that a real huge human was stepping into cement, because that's not stone where the footprints are inside. They found out that this was cement.
Well, you know, that brings back to the wall that Larry sent me some pictures of. It's stone within stone within stone, and it looks like layers of cement. And these things are very, very ancient.
Yeah.
Very ancient.
Yeah.
And he sent you a rock. Have you had any chance to decipher that at all? I know the Native
American... No, I'm still keeping it, and I show it to as many as possible people and experts.
Mm-hmm.
The stone expert in Vienna checked the stone. It's definitely made, human made.
Mm-hmm.
It's not natural form, but nobody can explain me what it really shows.
Well, I know the Native Americans say it. How do I word this? They think it's a portal. It signifies that the drawing on there signifies a portal. Of some into another dimension, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But they have found down in Texas. I'm sure you're familiar with the dinosaur tracks and the.
Yes, Dr. Bo.
Yeah, and but they also found, and I think you probably read it in Ancient American about that ancient underground thing where they found a huge axe and obviously the home of some giant that's been covered over.
No, I didn't see
that. Oh, you didn't see that?
No.
Yeah, they found...
But we found also in Ecuador,
mm-hmm.
a granite stone axe, which is about 5 times bigger than a normal stone axe.
Wow.
And of course, it's mentioned in the museum there as a ceremonial axe, but I had it in my exhibition, and it was quite... difficult for me to move it, so heavy and so weightful it is.
When you were over there, did you find any, like, underground walls or underground caverns that would match what you found in the skeletons at all, the size or anything?
Yes, there are many, many big caves in South America, especially in Ecuador also.
Mm-hmm.
And in Bolivia, a friend of mine, archaeologist, he found an underground tunnel, which is closed after about 10 meters. And most probably in April, we try to open that entrance. And, of course, it's interesting to go in there.
Mm-hmm. These underground tunnels, they appear to be everywhere.
Yes, yes. Even in Crete, Professor Muldashev went for an expedition to Crete in Greece.
Mm-hmm.
They found a huge, huge underground labyrinth made out of stone.
Wow.
Incredibly huge and very high.
Would that tend to confirm giants built it?
Why normal size people would make in stone so high holes and a labyrinth?
I know, talking about the giants, Steve Quayle did some research along with a friend of his, I think, that went into the book of Isaiah, and there's a prayer in there that says, "Let not the giants live again." Now, the Lord said that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be again. Do you think we're going to see a return, possibly, of these giants on Earth?
What Professor Muldashev says is that those giants in the so-called samadhis,
mm-hmm.
the body has not at all any function, but still they are not dead.
Wow.
So that he thinks they might be able to return.
So they're in suspended animation. They're not dead, and there'd be no reason to keep them in suspended animation if they weren't going to.
No. Nobody can keep them because usually you cannot enter the cave.
Oh, this is
how you call it? It's by energy. If you go inside mm-hmm. without any allowance or meditation and etc.,
mm-hmm.
you get a headache. And the more you go inside, the headache is getting strong and stronger, and up a certain point, if you go one more step, you are dead.
Wow.
So it is not possible to go inside. And he also could not go completely inside. He was able to go so far that he could see the shadow, I mean the silhouette of those people.
Mm-hmm.
But then it started his headache very strong, and he had to return back.
So they are being kept by an energy force we probably don't know anything about.
Right, right.
That would tend to confirm maybe that the Lord himself is behind this. Did the Tibetans have any, the monks, did they have anything to say about their release?
No.
They didn't.
The book is in Russia and now in German language,
mm-hmm.
and the English translation is soon finished, and I think Steve Quayle will be able to print this book in English language.
Well, that would be super.
It is very, very interesting, believe me.
Mm-hmm. You've done a lot of research, too, in these underground tunnels and ancient caverns.
Yes.
And you know, I'm sure, about the modern digging of tunnels for the elite to go down underground and survive what they think is coming. Have you in your research ever found any interconnection between the ancient tunnels and what they're doing now? In other words, has mankind gone down and is taking over some of these ancient tunnels?
No, I don't think so.
Uh-huh. That's kind of unusual, too. You'd think they'd take advantage of it.
I don't think.
Well, maybe they're afraid to. Maybe there's more down there. I know there are all kinds of stories from the ancient Americans and Native Americans and whatnot that some of these ancient underground tunnels you're not supposed to go into.
Yes. And that's the other thing what Professor Muldashev told me. When they entered into the labyrinth in Crete,
mm-hmm.
His friend behind him did always with a digital camera, a very high-solution digital camera, he did some photos.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, there are always more and more the so-called energy balls, the orbs.
Mm-hmm.
On the photo, and when they entered very deep into the labyrinth, his friend told him, we better move back because it looks like the orbs are attacking you. And Professor Muldashev told me, at the moment he told me that it looks like they are attacking you, he got stomach ache, headache ache, and he had to return immediately. So that means there was a kind of energy protection inside the labyrinth.
That's got to be high technology of a type we know nothing about. Really? I mean,
energy.
If you've got high energy, how would you say, plasma balls or whatever they were.
Yes, plasma balls. He showed me the photos. On each photo, you could see more and more and more.
Wow. That's amazing.
And that might be the reason why we are not able to use all those underground systems.
Well, of course, if the Lord is the one that's preserving that, and if he's preserving it with the possibility of allowing them to come back because of mankind's wickedness, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. And I'm sure that... Noah lived to see the giants. that could get really kind of scary, kind of frightening.
There are many things we still don't know.
Mm-hmm. How many giants have you actually uncovered and researched?
Until now, two.
Wow. Now, both of these were in Ecuador?
In Ecuador, we recovered bones, mm-hmm. broken bones, but we know the place where there are still three complete giants underground, and I have to wait until time and the right money to excavate these three giants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they are really 7.5, 7.6 meters high.
Well, that would confirm then what the Mayans, Aztecs, and whatnot have said, that the giants built this.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, if Orion is involved in this, this would tend to indicate that maybe some visitors came from Orion, I would think. And because why would they use the all-seeing eye in a star pattern of Orion, unless it really had some meaning to the ancients?
Yeah, and why this pyramid was found in Ecuador, that's one point. And you said that even on your United States $1, you have the same, exactly the same pyramid with 13 steps mm-hmm. and the shining eye. This symbol itself is very, very, very old. And then you have the big cup and the 12 little cups. And then, I forgot to tell you, there's another stone.
Mm-hmm.
It has the form of a heart. One part is broken, and the stone is brown in color. And on the other side, in the center of the stone, the color changes into black. And you can see a face with long hair, with a beard, with closed eyes. And when we made first time very good photos and we watched them on the computer, I was really kind of shocked, because this face on this stone looks quite exactly like the Shroud of Turin.
Okay. This
and
is...
then you have the pyramid with the almighty eye.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a big cup and 12 little cups.
So then what we could say is the occult or the New World Order boys and girls are trying to duplicate, because the Bible talks about the arrival of a false Messiah. And the New World Order is obviously a false order, but trying to duplicate that of the Messiah himself. They are using this New World Order symbol. Daniel talks about it. I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but in our symbol of the all-seeing eye, the great seal of the United States, the reverse side,
yeah.
It actually has embedded within 1776,
yeah.
600, 66.
Yeah.
And this find of yours of this small pyramid, that's astounding, because that appears to be something that proves out Messiah.
It's
that he
very,
would...
very old, that's for sure.
Wow, that's amazing.
And why it is written, the translation of Professor Schildmann says, the Son of the Creator comes.
Yeah, redemption of the human race.
Yeah.
Well, if he came the first time, they say he's coming again. Maybe this is what all this is about for the last days. One of the things they found, I'm jumping around here a little bit, down in Hevner, was some evidently underground, quite a ways down, they found a wall of polished granite.
Uh-huh.
Have you run into any of that kind of stuff in your travels?
No, but I received a newspaper report from 1883,
mm-hmm.
that they found in France in a coal mine. Inside the coal, they found a cave with fossilized, coalified skeletons, human, men, women, and children skeletons.
Wow.
And it was written that they were brought to one city hall, and we checked and we researched and everything, but no information.
Well,
but one thing, why most of these strange artifacts are stone?
Well, you know, I'm wondering about that, but remember in
you know why? What I think is stone never changes.
Yes.
After 1,000, 5,000, 10,000 years, you will not find any iron, not find any wood or anything else, but stone never changes the form.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why most of the unidentifiable artifacts are stone.
Would that have anything to do with Genesis and the constant wetness and the misting, that it would rot anyway, so they just built everything out of stone? You're familiar with Eric von Däniken?
Yes.
I mean, he was laughed to scorn, but your findings would tend to confirm his.
Not directly, because he says everything was done by aliens. I would not say so.
Okay, okay.
I would say there were, long time ago, already human on Earth, but several times a big cataclysm, a catastrophe happened,
mm-hmm.
and only few people survived. And that's why we have in the Bible the story about the flood.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And if we are not careful, we might face the same problem.
Well, according to biblical prophecy, of course, we do. We're coming up on another catastrophe.
Yeah.
Do you have any information on, or have you heard about that golden mirror that was found or claimed to be found?
In Russia?
Yes.
Yes. No, I sent this information to Professor Muldashev, and I wait if he can find out for me if that's reality or if that's just a story. Because many times in internet there are photos or stories going around the world, and finally those are just frauds, done to make people crazy,
yeah,
or
right.
to show that all those informations are nonsense.
Well, what was interesting to us about it was that this mirror also, according to the story, had pictures that showed people, and the mirror claimed it was like 800 years after Adam, and they were dressed pretty much like we were in this thing.
Oh, they are in France. There are stones, very, very old stones, and on the stones you can see humans real nice dressed.
So the ancient history that we're being told is basically totally incorrect, isn't it? Well, I know you don't want to really comment on that. Have you any information on this CERN operation, this big thing that they're...
Yes, yes, it stopped, and I think they are not able to start it again until the summer or autumn this year. They try to start again.
What is that for? I mean, I know what the public is being told. Is that, there was an article that came out, I think it was a German article, that told the story about a face that appeared on the computers. Have you heard anything about
the
that?
The ghost face, when the CERN stopped, a big face, ghost face, disappeared. It was written in one newspaper. And a friend of mine, a journalist in Switzerland, is now researching who got this information, and was that reality or was that just a nice story?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, but I give this, I promise to Larry that I will give him the information as soon as I get it.
Yeah, because Larry was told by the Lord to go up to a certain mountain there in the Nahifna area and evidently release some very nasty evil spirits. Because some friends of ours who did not know Larry was up there doing that not only heard a bunch of voices flying over them that were very, very angry, but a face appeared in the cloud. Did he ever send you a picture of that?
Yes.
I wonder if it would have anything to do with what they found out on CERN, because if the spirit or the spirit world is not quite ready for this, they could slow that down, I suppose.
They had already a big problem, and I do not think why people spend so much money just for one experiment where they even by themselves, I think, do not know what is the exactly final result.
Yeah, this could be very, very dangerous.
It could be very dangerous, yes.
They're saying they're trying to find either the God particle or they're looking for a black hole.
They shall not play God.
I know they can't.
That might be very, very dangerous.
Well, I know that when they did run it, we had some major earthquakes at the same time they were running that in other places in the world.
Yeah.
So I think they're fooling around with something. They have no idea what they're doing.
They are really fooling around. That's what many scientists even are thinking and talking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what I think, spending so much money, what can you do with this money to save the Earth?
Well, yeah, they're not even concerned about that, I don't think.
No. Just to make a sensation, but the sensation can be very, very big problem.
Mm-hmm. I understand you have several books. You got more than several books out. Are any of them in English? Like your book on Unsolved Mysteries, is that in English at all?
No, but I'm talking with Stephen Quayle that we try to get two books in English.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I also heard from Larry that, because I don't have your book,
I sent it to you.
I never got it.
No?
No, never came.
And then I sent it again.
It was probably intercepted.
Please be so kind and send me again a short mail just with your postal address, and right away I send it again.
Okay, sure will.
I have the English translation, and the book itself is in German.
Okay.
With all the photos... You have the pyramid with the eye, you have the stone map, you have all those artifacts in the book.
Well, that would be great. Can you hold the line just a second?
Yes.
These things...
Larry sent me your two DVDs, the one about the catastrophes and the other one about the Mars.
Yeah, what did you make of that Mars thing? I was going to get into that.
Wow.
There's something there.
There is something there.
And I know
did
that...
Did you ever hear about this Russian boy, I think 9 years old or something like this? He started suddenly talking about Mars, and he gave informations which a child never, ever can give.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get those informations?
I saw part of it. I don't think I got all of it, but basically what he claimed is he lived on Mars and journeyed to Earth back and forth.
Right.
In an ancient civilization.
Right.
Yeah, this, what we found on Mars on that Project Red Star, I mean, there's ancient, again, step pyramids, a whole kind of a grouping of them.
Yeah.
What looked like to us, Tesla technology, energy, a strange form of energy.
Yeah.
Sphinx. Almost identical to what we're finding on Earth. There's definitely a Mars-Earth connection. No question in our mind, anyway.
Yeah.
On Mega-Earth 2, what did you think of Mega-Earth 2? That was kind of that was a hard one to put together because of what it says, you know?
It's a great work, first of all, and when I gave it to my friend, he was really shocked.
Well, when you put it all together...
Yeah.
And you put all the ancients and what they had to say, I don't see there's any escape that mankind is headed towards just another catastrophe. Have you noticed any, we're kind of drifting off subject, have you noticed any big changes over there where you are in the weather and the climate?
Yes, of course. In Europe also, climate is playing crazy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you heard anything about what is called the Black Knight at all? It's an ancient artificial satellite that was found some time ago, according to inside sources.
Yeah.
And they're attempting to backwards engineer it. Do you know anything about that at all?
Not really. A little bit I read about it, but not deeper information.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. These structures that have been found on Mars, and obviously now many people say they're equivalents on the moon, and they relate back to artificial structures here on Earth.
Yeah.
Why, in your opinion, like we have the Nazca lines, and nobody argues that they were made by mankind, some certain tribe. But when you get to Mars and you find the same thing, all of a sudden it's natural.
Yeah. But not only Nazca, they found in Bolivia many, many new things.
Oh, they have?
Yes. For example, they found out by satellite photographs that there are, in huge land areas, there are structures in the nature which definitely is not natural. And even under the salt, they found structures.
Oh.
Under the salt lake.
Oh, under the salt lake?
Yes, in Bolivia, in the Altiplano, in the highland of Bolivia. That means those structures must be thousands and thousands of years old.
Right. Are you familiar with the underground city they found off Japan at all?
Yes, Yonaguni.
Yeah.
Professor Kimura, who is doing the research on it, is a good friend of mine. And he gave me 3 artifacts for my exhibition he found there.
Oh, they did find artifacts as well?
Yes, yes.
What are the artifacts? What kind of artifacts are those?
One is a stone animal, a stone statue. The other one is a stone plate with some incarvings, and
mm-hmm.
The model of the whole structure. And he found several other structures already.
Oh, he has.
Yeah. And they are also a combination. He thinks that these structures are at least 10 to 12,000 years old, and 2000 in the year 2000. They found in Chile, in the desert of Atacama,
mm-hmm.
they found over 70 mummies, very good condition, and they did DNA analysis. The mummies are between 7 and 9,000 years old,
mm-hmm.
and they found out that this DNA is exactly the same like in Hokkaido, living the Ainu.
Hmm.
So that means even here, again, you have a direct connection between Japan and South America.
Yeah. It seems.
And also the stone buildings. Stone building in Yonaguni in Japan, and you have stone buildings in Peru, Bolivia, and other countries.
What did you make of the Bermuda Road when they found that? Do you think that's artificial, or do you think that's just a natural occurrence?
Which one?
It's called the Bermuda Road. It's just off Florida, and they found a whole bunch of stones laid out. It looks
very much like
a road.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that was a road? You know, Edgar Cayce said that part of Atlantis would be found, actually, in the year they found that road.
Yes, yes.
It makes you wonder. And then, of course, you got the Bermuda Triangle mystery.
Yeah.
You've got the one in the Pacific. There's something going on here with ancient technology we're totally unaware of.
I think so.
How much do you think the authorities actually know? the governments of the world?
That's a big question.
They seem to know quite a bit.
Yeah. And mainly what I found out in old history, mainly the military is very much interested.
Yeah. In the book, Evil Fire Made to Burn by Gary Vey, he had a meeting with J.J. Hurtick, who evidently works for the... He works under UN auspices, as far as I know, doesn't he?
J.J. Hurtick?
Yeah.
That's what I read. I met him several times.
He's very, very interested in all of this. I know that. He wrote The Keys of Enoch.
Yes,
the book.
Yes, I know it.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting book, actually.
Yeah.
Do you have any comments on, have you found anything in ancient artifacts or anything like that that would have a, how do I say this, some sort of a prophetic view of what's coming?
No, 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 but I met in Mexico the real expert on Maya and Aztec calendar. His name is David Wood.
Okay.
Sounds like American. I thought first he's an American, but he is pure Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
And he is really the expert. And he showed me a small statue, which is in a museum in Germany. And it's a Mexican statue of Quetzalcoatl. And he explained me that on this statue are all the prophecies.
Oh.
Yes.
Have they interpreted them?
Yes, yes.
Do you know what they say?
I did not get it yet, because when I met David last time, we talked about 3 hours about many things, and finally I forgot to ask him about the future, but what he told me is 2012, from now on we will face certain problems.
Okay, now, I know from the books that I have read that they claim that on December 21st, 2012, some claim that will be the return of Quetzalcoatl. Then others have said that at that point there will be a portal opens and it's the time for the harvest of souls. I wonder if that has anything to do with that statue. That would be fascinating if you could find out what that says.
Yes, definitely, and I'll let you know.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Larry said that in one of your books you have findings of reptilians, or what do we call them? I guess that maybe I'm not using the right terms, and people writing on dinosaurs?
Yes, Peru. The stone collection from Dr. Cabrera,
mm-hmm.
He passed away 2003. He collected over 12,000 stones. And I have to say, just today I had a meeting with a geologist, a very expert. He spent 2 weeks at the museum of Dr. Cabrera, and he told me that definitely the majority of those stones, especially the ones with the dinosaurs and humans and so on, they are definitely very old. But there are also some frauds, some fakes inside the collection. So that it means it is very hard for an amateur to find out which one is a real old one and a new one. But he said the majority of the stones are really very, very old.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and you have also some stones with brain surgery, with stomach surgery, heart surgery, and several others. And he said, he explained me today again, that those stones are really very old. He checked them personally. He spent 2 weeks there.
So really what you're finding is confirmation in a way of what others have, how do I say, implied, that ancient technology was greater than ours, and which would confirm what the Bible says, that there is nothing new under the sun,
that what was before now is, and nothing really changes. We just go through all these cycles.
You know about Mohenjo-Daro in Pakistan, in the Indus Valley.
Mm-hmm.
They found melted stones. They found skeletons with very high radioactivity. And the translations of Mahabharata and the Vedas is explaining exactly about the flying objects, about the big weapons. And there is an explanation. I read the translation. And I visited Hiroshima, the Atom Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read this old translation, you think you read a story about Hiroshima.
Yeah, the Sanskrit text also talk about, well, not only nuclear war, but I know in China, I think maybe it's the Gobi, they found glass sand, which would be indicative of high temperature operations, and
yes,
they've also
yes,
found that
yes.
out west, I think.
Yes.
So obviously then they had anti-gravity devices, they must have had all kinds of things, which would tend to me anyway, because I'm a Christian, would tend to confirm what went on before the flood took place.
Yes.
And the fallen angels. Is there any indication in any of the artifacts that these were, in fact, not necessarily extraterrestrials as we would think of them, but rather fallen angels that manifested themselves into time-space and tended to, how do I say, fool the human race? Anything at all in artifacts or writings that you have come across?
That's the problem, that Professor Schildmann passed away, because he might have translated as several other stones.
Mm-hmm.
The difficulty is you need, on each field, you need really experts which are helping you to find out more, because I'm not that expert. I'm just happy to find those artifacts, but then I have to search some specialists who are able to help me.
Well, that's probably the best way to do it anyway, because then you're getting multiple opinions. You're getting them from people that are in those sciences. But it must surprise some of them with what you've come up with.
Oh, yeah, several times. It really does.
Yeah. This thing, what are these reptilians or dinosaur reptiles or whatever you want to call them? That you have
there
discovered.
Are very strange artifacts from Sierra Leone, from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Professor Pittoni, an Italian geologist, he was working there for the government in diamond mines.
Mm-hmm.
And he found in certain sediment areas stone statues, many of them sandstone, but the big ones from granite, and there you have a lot of human body and reptile faces and so on. And if you talk with ethnologists or anthropologists, mm-hmm. they will say that the oldest civilization in Sierra Leone is about 3,000 years old, and they worked only with wood. Then is the big question, who worked with granite and so perfectly done statues? And also, again, now the giant, because there you have also statues of an elephant, and on the elephant is sitting a huge human.
Wow.
Meaning giants. And the oldest, as a geologist, he always took some, whenever he found a stone statue, he took some material
mm-hmm.
to make an age test, aging test, and the oldest statue is about 17,000 years old, and inside this statue was a chromatical steel ball.
Oh!
But the chromatical steel was found by an Austrian 1903 or 4.
Yeah, I can see why modern science would have no explanation for any of this. No. Because after all, we came up from the Neanderthals. And they just absolutely refuse to accept, well, of course, that's uniformitarianism, really, where they just think that everything takes place over millions of years. Most of the ancient documents all claim catastrophe. And we're, well, this is amazing, amazing stuff. Where do you think this is going to go now? Where are you headed for now in all your research?
I beg your pardon?
Where will you be heading out now for your research?
To Bolivia.
Mm-hmm.
End of March. And most probably in summertime to Ecuador for the excavation of the giants.
Okay, well, that's about wraps up the conversation I had a little bit more, but a few other things that we talked about, but that about takes care of that. And I tell you what, folks, the ancient knowledge, how do I word this? We have no idea what our actual ancient past really is. Thanks for listening.